going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance. And have some fun.
When we're done, satisfaction of what's to come. I couldn't ask for another. No, I couldn't ask for another. Your groove, I do deeply dig. No walls.
Project Alexandria is a collaborative project to acquire, renovate, and reuse the former hospital facility located at 5500 Stewart Street in Milton. The city and Lighthouse Christian College share the goal to create a state-of-the-art educational hub that will provide post-secondary, college, workforce, and VOTEC training.
I think this is an opportunity for the city to potentially utilize a facility that otherwise may likely be abandoned. It's approximately 63,000 square feet of one-time state hospital. It could be repurposed and put to a different use. The city has pursued a project at this location for approximately 18 months.
So that's Ed Spears, the assistant city manager, and then Randy Jorgensen, the city manager for the city of Milton, talking about a project that they call Project Alexandria that has to do with the old medical services building that you heard him talking about there. That's right after, if you know where the high school is in Milton, it's like right northeast of the very northeast, or try to cross the street from the northeast corner of the high school. And it's a sprawling kind of building that, you know, it kind of looks like it could be almost anything. It's not a like multi-story particularly, although it does have a large multi-story building in the back. I'm not sure if it's a gym or exactly what it is, a couple stories tall, but it's a pretty sprawling campus. And basically, you've got this project where Lighthouse Christian is wanting to turn that into a college in downtown Milton. They're wanting to build a post, you know, high school 4-year master's and or bachelor's and master's and some technical training because they are a massive entity to begin with, and they want to expand in downtown Milton.
The first thing I would like to request is, as we are entering into or asking you for permission to enter into a competitive bidding process for this facility, and you are all aware of the final bid price that we will be offering, we would like to ask that that be held in confidence today. The state will open the bids on the 10th of this month at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. At that point in time, the bids will become public. It would put us at a competitive disadvantage if the amount were publicized here today. If someone were looking to get that property, they could beat us out by $100. And so we would ask as we go through the discussion that we hold that number in confidence.
Yeah, so the bid, the proposal was to put in a bid or give, you know, basically Ed, the economic development director for City of Milton and assistant city manager, to put in a bid, and then Tallahassee is going to unseal those bids today at noon, and we'll see whether the city of Milton wins.
So a couple of years ago, the mayor identified the Stewart Street Hospital as a priority project, and it was included in the FY22 local delegation funding request. We were awarded $500,000 in the FY22-23 state budget, which we're in right now. We have until 2024 to spend that allocation.
So $500,000 came from the state to make a base bid, and then they're going to basically, you know, they've been talking with some different organizations and nothing really worked out. And then when the Malcolm Young Gym got closed, which is what Lighthouse Christian Academy uses for their sports facility here in Pensacola, the opportunity to make a move on Milton just became sort of obvious.
We were approached by representatives from Lighthouse Private Christian Academy and Lighthouse Christian College following the closure of their athletic facility that they were leasing from the city of Pensacola. They began through a mutual friend who I happen to know through Association of Realtors in Pensacola. They were looking for a location to possibly expand their operation and move those athletic facilities because their need was so immediate and unforeseen. We had them tour the facility and they were very excited about the opportunity. We immediately began discussions on how to partner to make it the home of the new Lighthouse Christian College.
So in order to get the money and use the money, and then also in order to be able to apply for some CBDG, Community Development Block Grants, or CDBG, I always get that backwards, grants, it's like $5 million worth. The city is going to have to own it, so the city is going to buy it, but the money is either going to come from the state or, you know, the extra on top of the 500 grand, whatever their bid is going to come from Lighthouse Christian, and then, you know, we're going to hold it while they pay us back, or, you know, the city of Milton's going to hold it while, you know, the Christian Academy pays them back, so eventually it's not going to cost anything for the city, except that they're going to get a college downtown, which is kind of nice. And even if it doesn't work out, like, you know, Ed Spears in Tallahassee today for the bid opening, let's say, you know, if we get the deal, then we get a college downtown. And if we don't get the deal, it's because somebody else wants to buy and renovate that building and, you know, put the work into making it usable and is going to turn that into a profitable thing of some kind downtown Milton. So either way, the city of Milton wins.
We'll have much more information as we find out, number one, are we the high bidder? If we're not, if someone else buys it, from our perspective, the city of Milton wins as well, because someone's buying it for considerably more than we're offering, and then hopefully they'll be making this investment and activating the property. So from our perspective, we win either way, whether we're the high bidder or not.
So the city of Milton wins with state money on the line, or the city of Milton wins with somebody else's money on the line. And, you know, there you go. Plus, as I said, the Community Development Block Grant possibility of getting $5 million more to do additional renovations on top of the initial renovations that are going to run about $3 million, which is, of course, going to be paid for by Lighthouse Christian and not by the city of Milton. The roof alone is $600,000, just so you kind of understand. But no city funds are going to be spent, and you basically get college students living in Milton, spending their money, enjoying their time, and building a home, you know, right here. Johanna Johannes is the CEO and the president of Lighthouse Christian. She was there to talk about this.
This is an opportunity for everyone. And over the last couple of months, we were looking at different communities, but Lighthouse and Milton go together very well. I believe that. And we've already started another campus, a K-12 campus here on Dogwood at one of the churches. And that is starting up in August. So I believe that this mission has been guided. So I just want to go through everything with you all and hopefully that you will agree.
Yeah. And she basically says, look, we have a lot of places we could build this because we have campuses all over. What they do is, you know, they kind of start, in my understanding, they kind of start in churches, like you heard her talk about the one that they're doing, and they do these, you know, K-6 or K-8 or K-12. I don't feel like I'm an expert on their structure exactly, but what I was able to glean from it is they start these campuses all over with low overhead costs, you know, and kind of function like a church that's growing. You know, you go and use somebody else's facility, you rent a facility from another church, or you rent from like a school or something like that. So in their case, a lot of times they build in churches because they're a Christian organization, and they grow those campuses, and then they expand again, and they grow those campuses, and they expand again. And they're kind of like this, you know, non-traditional infrastructure version of a school network. And basically with all of these kids getting up to, you know, graduate, they wanted to have a place where they didn't have to leave home and go somewhere else to do their, you know, post-secondary education. And so she's like, we could build this anywhere, but we really like Milton.
I think this is going to make history for Milton, okay? Proactive city leaders get together with a school that has 20 years of success, and we can put a college anywhere. We could have put it in Pensacola, which we started to do, Gulf Breeze. We have schools in Fort Walton Beach and Mary Esther right now, and we just started one in the Florida Keys. But Milton is, in my heart, what is supposed to happen.
And just so you kind of understand, like, the scope of their operations.
So these are different campuses that we have right now, two in Pensacola, one in Gulf Breeze. We just started the one in Milton, and we have one in Mary Esther and Fort Walton, and we just started one in the Florida Keys. And that was the other competitive city that was trying to get us to come in there and start our college there. But it's a long way away, and I love Milton.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, you know, so we will have, assuming this comes to pass, if, again, when the bids are opened, Milton wins with Lighthouse Christian, you're going to have PSC, you're going to have UWF, and you're going to have Lighthouse Christian. And, you know, we have PCC, you know, Pensacola Christian. I mean, like, this is really a major development for the possibility of becoming a significant presence in downtown Milton. And, you know, just to me, okay, one of the most surprising things about this is, you know, Milton is a source of great drama, right? You've heard maybe once or twice that, you know, anytime you can get everybody to agree about something in Milton, like you've really done a thing. I kid you not. All of the city council members, when they heard this, were like, oh, this looks fantastic. Gavin Hawthorne.
I agree with Councilman Cusack. This is a great opportunity, and I don't see anything wrong with this.
Jeff Snow.
Yeah, I agree with the rest of the council. I believe this is a great opportunity for all of us, and I will be praying that we win this bid and get to move forward.
Roxanne Mees.
Yes, thank you so much for your presentation, and I just can't wait to get started. This is so exciting.
I know. I'm looking forward to getting to know you all.
Even so. Matt Jarrett, who only attends the, you know, bare minimum number of meetings to not statutorily lose his seat on the council.
We actually have mutual friends, and I remember when the small school started across from Shadow Lakes and Gulf Breeze, and
yes.
It's been nothing but a success. So you have my full support.
Even like Shannon Rice, who's not on council anymore, who came up and asked some questions, was kind of probing at it, and she seemed satisfied. And of all the people that you would wonder, are they going to oppose it? Mike Cusack, who's been kind of the naysayer for an awful lot of things. Like, I've never heard Mike Cusack be, like, happy, really, on council. Like, he's almost giddy about this.
You said about the housing. Are students going to be living there as well as going to class there?
Yes.
In the college? Okay.
Yes, because since it was a former hospital, those rooms, that's what I saw at the beginning. It was like, wow.
So they'd be dorm rooms then?
They would be dorm rooms.
Oh, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't personally say it. This is awesome. I think I don't see anything detrimental at all to it personally.
I've just, like I said, that's so out of the typical character range for the comments that he makes that you got to believe this is a pretty good deal. So, hey, they all approved this. I don't know what the bid is, and they may know what it is because it was in secret, but we'll find out today at noon whether it wins. So, you know, I guess if this makes sense for you, be praying that Lighthouse Christian wins the bid today. But we'll find out at noon today. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality used cars. 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices. And, you know, aside from the way they do business, which is fantastic, part of the appeal to me is that they specialize in the kind of cars that Dave Ramsey and I also recommend you buy. You know, the kind of car where you buy it at used, you know, like a year or two later, and then you drive it until the wheels fall off. That's what Dave always says. You know, that's the kind of car that's a really good car for you to buy. I do the same thing. You know, I took an Accord to 300,000+ miles. My Civic has got almost 200,000 miles on it. The Odyssey that we bought from Frontier replaced a Grand Caravan that had almost 200,000 miles on it. That's just kind of how we do it. So they were the perfect fit for us in terms of the type of car. They happened to have a car we couldn't find anywhere else at a great price, and they have been just fantastic ever since, during, and, you know, even before we bought the car from them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life, from carpooling kids to work to friends and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs, ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you, with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News, 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
How do you like the bounty hunting business?
Kill white folks and they pay you for it? What's not to like?
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Good morning, 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. In the newsroom this morning, we've got David Wayne with our headlines. David?
A spike in immigration expected when Title 42 comes to an end tomorrow. The restrictions put in place during the pandemic were used to help stop the spread of COVID, and cities along the southern border expecting thousands of both legal and illegal border crossings once the restrictions are lifted. The four students that were stabbed in Idaho earlier this year receiving posthumous degrees. Commencement ceremonies at the University of Idaho start this weekend, and the four victims of last November's mass killing will be honored in the ceremony. And there's another Army base being renamed, Fort Benning, near Columbus, Georgia, changing names to Fort Moore in honor of Lieutenant General Hal Moore. The fort had been named after Henry Benning, who was a general in the Confederate Army.
Yeah, you had the couple of other renames going on. David, thanks so much for the update. We, you know, Fort Hood is no longer Fort Hood. They just renamed that. And, you know, it's kind of weird to me because, of course, Fort Hood was there was some bad things happened at Fort Hood, as you well know. And so the name no longer attaches. It's almost like they're doing a rebrand of the fort. But, you know, Fort Hood has had its name change. And it's named for the first Hispanic four-star, I believe, who had gotten medals in Korea and in Vietnam. And that's the thing that I've kind of been, you know, mentioning throughout the, as we go through these renamings, is that even though I disagree with the renamings, I don't think that you ought to try to purge your past or, you know, run away from it. Feel free to contextualize it and explain it, but don't change it and pretend it never happened. But I don't think anybody can really complain about the people they're choosing to honor. They have really chosen some fantastic people to honor with the new names, and certainly, you know, this is another example of that. 527, News Radio 92.3, Georgia is not going to go to the White House. National champions back-to-back, they're not going to go to White House. There's some back and forth about whether they did get invited, and then they did get invited, and they're like, yeah, it just doesn't work with our schedule. So, you know, a little bit peevy about
the football team?
Yeah, what's that? The football team, that's right. So kind of an interesting one there. Mammograms are now being recommended to start for women every other year at 40, instead of at 50, and you know, they're not fun. That's my understanding. I mean, I've never had one, you know, myself, right? But I'm just saying, the way
they're good for you, and you should, if you have insurance,
you should do it.
And if you don't, there's units that go around. You never know,
right?
You never know.
You should do it.
Yes, absolutely do it, and it's not that bad.
Well,
it's not my favorite thing in the whole wide world, but it's not that bad.
Boy, what I want to do is I want to go take care of that. 437-1620. What else? Oh, MTV News. 25% staff cutting from Paramount Global, including MTV News, which is being shut down. And I think the lead there is MTV News still exists.
I know, right?
I didn't know. And, you know, apparently a lot of other people didn't know.
What are they reporting on?
Exactly.
Jersey Shore injuries from years ago.
I don't know
what I mean? It's not music
apparently
anymore.
This is a thing that they're going through. Robert De Niro is a dad again.
How old?
79. He's almost old enough to be president.
Okay, that's one, but I didn't know you could.
Yeah, sure. Well, hey, look, you know, we got Abraham became a dad at over 100, you know, so, I mean, it's possible. I mean, a little different circumstance back then, but yeah, 79, he's a dad for the seventh time.
So Robert De Niro and Abraham, got it. You're too old to pick him up.
He's not. He's fairly spry. I mean, but no, so as a pro-lifer, right, somebody who believes in, you know, making babies in a marriage, right, that's kind of a good thing. I look at this and I say, well, there's life, you know, there's a kid. On the other hand, of course, it's like, wow, you're ambitious. I'll just put it that way. I know a lot of people who kind of get through the parenting phase and they say, okay, good for us. We can be grandparents now. And apparently Robert De Niro is not exactly in that category. Oh, fascinating research that was done. I don't know if I agree this is true, but the research is they told people the plot of some Hitchcock movie or TV show something, and they told other people, they didn't tell them the plot, but they had them watch it. The people who knew the ending still enjoyed it the same as the people who didn't know the ending. So the idea that you've spoiled something and made it so people can't enjoy it is theoretically not true. People still, for my money, I don't want to know the ending. My wife is a read it ahead of time. And I don't understand it because I like the uncertainty. I like the drama of not knowing and then having it be revealed. And then, you know, you go through
all
that.
I used to be just like your wife. Yeah.
And she, like, she'll go and read ahead. And I'm like, what are you, why?
I ruined Saw that way for me. Not that you've seen it, but it's like, and that's when I stopped reading ahead.
No. So I disagree with this research, but, you know, to each their own. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Coming up in just a few minutes, David Wayne will have your headlines. What's going on, David?
Well, FDOT says they're looking at ways to make a busy intersection a little bit safer. We'll have that story right after Fox News here on News Radio 92.3.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump says he will appeal the verdict in New York, finding him liable for sexual abuse and defamation of the writer E. Jean Carroll.
I have no idea who she is, where she came from. This is another scam. It's a political witch hunt.
Trump on Truth Social. He's ordered to pay Carroll $5 million. Federal criminal charges are filed against New York House Republican George Santos.
The nature of the counts in the Eastern District of New York are unclear. Santos has been accused by many of his fellow Republicans and some who voted for him last year of embellishing his background in order to get elected, which he has admitted doing.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Buddy Holly wins Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. His co-owner and handler, Janice Hayes, on Fox Sports 1.
I have dreamed of this since I was 9 years old.
It's a first for the breed, PBVG for short. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 72 right now. Cloudy skies here in Pensacola this morning. Well, if you've driven through Beulah Nine Mile Road lately, you know how busy it can get in that intersection.
That area is also growing. We widened that roadway because of the growth that is expected in that area. So you have a lot more traffic in there as the growth continues in that region. So anything that we can do, we're going to continue to monitor.
And that is FDOT's Ian Sattery talked with Channel 3 and says they're gathering data now and looking to make that intersection a little bit safer. FDOT says they're looking at a range of possible improvements there, including different signage, lighting, or possibly different striping on the road. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says with any new venture, there's growing pains to be expected. Right now, they're working on solving one of those at the new Blake Doyle Skate Park.
Like anything else, you're going to have some growing pains with some things and how do you balance the enforcement of the closure of the park, but also have it lit for the security of the park and how it's used after it's closed? So that's a little bit of the double-edged sword we're in right now.
And you heard in our reporting yesterday the discussion between Reeves and Council President Delarian Wiggins, who says that sometimes there can be upwards of 60 skaters using the park after it's supposed to be closed at dusk. Reeves says there was some consideration to fencing in the park. However, given its size, that would have been too expensive. He does plan to announce some additional security plans next week. Well, this week, local leaders have been picking the brain of a national expert on homelessness in an effort to figure out some solutions to the issues here in our area.
When a community really coordinates and collaborates their effort, it can't just be one agency, it can't just be one entity, but when we see that community come together, collaborate with the political support and giving people the necessary services that they need, that's how we're seeing the success.
And that's Dr. Joe Savage. He's with the Interagency Council on Homelessness. He addressed both the Pensacola Council and Escambia County Commissioners yesterday and then presented again at CivicCon last night. And during his visit, he spoke on the strategic federal plan to end homelessness. So far, they've budgeted over $3 billion to reduce homelessness nationwide by 25% within the next 2 years. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be seeing a warm and humid day today with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures will stay warm with temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s. As you go into your Thursday, our pattern continues with afternoon showers and thunderstorms possible, high staying in the mid to low 80s. We are going to be seeing temperatures overnight warm in the 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 534, 72 cloudy in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes for us? In Escambia County, they do. The millions who visit here spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay lower the tax burden for locals. Visitor spending supports over 22,000 jobs, providing $638 million in local wages. Sure, being a tourism destination means we might have to wait a little longer for a restaurant table or park a little farther to get to our favorite shops. But it's a small price to pay when you consider the contributions those temporary visitors make to our permanent slice of paradise. So keep on welcoming visitors with our famous Southern hospitality and invite your friends and family to visit, because tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
April showers bring May savings at Beret Jewelers. We're ringing in spring with special deals on your shining favorites during Beret's Blooming Blowout Sale. Save up to 70% on select pieces May 5th through May 31st. From top designers to beautiful bridal jewelry, you'll find something to love. So hurry into shop and save up to 70% off during the spring sale of the season. All month long at Beret Jewelers.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Of course, he had done this press conference on Monday talking about the incident where they had called SWAT team out in response to a couple of guys who were looking for a fugitive from Alabama who was here in Escambia County. And then, you know, they showed a video of what happened during that incident. We talked quite a bit about this yesterday. I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to because it's under FDLE investigation because it did involve law enforcement officer shooting the suspect. But Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. It's always good to have you. Well, we got a lot of stories to get to. Let's start with the sort of the highest profile one, which is, yesterday, you had a press conference in which you talked about this warrant service on a 58 times former felon who was holding a knife to a woman's throat, I guess, or at least to her somehow, in a tent. And you guys showed up with the SWAT vehicles and the Bearcat and the Rook, I think you call it, is the other one.
Yeah.
I know there's some degree of which you can't talk about all this, but what can you tell us about this response from your SWAT team?
Well, I think you got to go back a little bit. We had a couple of bail bondsmen because this individual...
From Alabama, right?
From Alabama. Bayonet, okay. I believe. They were wanting this guy. They located him using their own informants, and they located him. They're living on a tent, in a rather large tent, but they, even though they had a car, living in a tent, and that was at Helton Street. And so they tried to go pick him up, because bondsmen, as bondsmen do, and they said he pulled a gun on them. They called us. Our deputies get there, and again, it's dark. It's kind of a secluded area, and our deputies say he appears to have pulled a weapon on them, so they set up a perimeter, and then they call out the SWAT team. So we're thinking this thing lasts about 2 hours for the patrol deputies and 3 more hours, or 3 hours and 2 hours for the SWAT and deputy combination. So for 5 hours, we're trying to get this guy to give up. At this point, we've identified him. He had warrants from Alabama. He has warrants from Escambia County. He's flagged as this violent offender. Two times he has pulled what he, at least wanted us to believe was a weapon. So our SWAT team gets there, and then during the conversations that we have with him, we also learned that that some people have he has contacted some people, so he's going to shoot it out with deputies. So we're on the highest of alert. And then we believe he's going to try to get to a vehicle because at this point he has nothing else to do.
He's not giving signs of surrendering.
He's not. And again, 5 hours. So we put gas into the tent, which was pretty effective in a house. It's even more effective in a tent because he had barricaded this tent. He had made it where we couldn't just rush the tent, even though it probably wouldn't have been the safest thing to do it. But at this point, we know that he has a female with him that he will not let go. And then the next time we see him, he is coming out with her in front of him with what is definitely a knife to her throat area, upper body throat area. And she's struggling a bit. And you can tell we released some of the drone footage. Obviously, it's dark, and so you can see the infrared. But you can make out pretty well that there's two people there, and he's obviously trying to keep her as a human shield, the quality individual that he is. But we cannot let a hostage go. We cannot let a hostage taker and a hostage leave the scene. We had two of our vehicles there. One was the Bearcat, which is our armored personnel carrier, and the other is what we call a Rook. It's more or less like a Bobcat type vehicle, but it's ballistic and also has a platform in front of it. And it was in the area as well because we had, again, 5 hours to try to figure out the best and safest way to get this thing resolved. And he makes it to the car. Again, with her as his shield, with a knife to her throat, opens up the door, and you can see that even on the infrared video that we released. And once he gets in the car, our Bearcat, the driver, does a good job of trying their best to stop that car, trying to lift the back of the wheels with tools that they have, what we call an improvised type tool, and they lift that up. At the same time,
it seemed like a pretty violent collision, really, of the bear, of the Rook into the back of the car. Is that a standard approach, or that's because I hadn't seen that before, and I don't know what the Rook's capabilities are, but
I don't think it was a standard approach. I think it was a definitive approach.
Okay.
It was an approach in that we want to make sure that I get this vehicle off as soon as we can. And the Rook is not necessarily designed for that.
Sure.
We know it has capabilities. We know you can do just about anything with it. But things happen in a split second, and you have to make decisions. And credit to the deputy. He took the opportunity, was able to lift the car so it couldn't speed away.
Got it.
But we weren't sure how long he was going to keep that car up. And the one deputy notices they're still struggling inside the car, and the bad guy has a knife, and he reports of a gun, but at least a knife. We know for sure he has a knife to someone's throat, and we talk a lot about reasonableness. And is it reasonable for a reasonable person to believe that someone's life is in danger? And I think that was pretty clear that the hostage's life was in danger. And he took that shot and ended him.
And now, you had said in the press conference that you were not sure, but that she might have been sort of collateral damage hit somehow in that single shot. Was there evidence that she had been shot? You just weren't sure who had shot her? Was there a possible, what, like, because obviously that's heartbreaking to think that might have happened. Even if it was the right decision, it's heartbreaking to think that the outcome that way, right?
Yeah, and we know that there's an injury. But we didn't know, we don't know still definitively, whether it was a piece of the glass, because he shot through a glass window that had entered into the hostage, or if it was the round itself, when it went through the glass, it a piece of it broke off, or if it did go through the bad guy and then enter into her. It could also have been a knife wound from him. So we weren't sure at the time, and obviously the medical professionals are giving her a good treatment, and they can kind of give a better idea for what exactly the injury is. I just want to be open and honest with people and say this: at this point, we don't know. There's certainly a possibility that this could have taken place.
And so at this point, and I know FDLE is, as is appropriate, is handling the investigation because it's an officer-involved shooting, which led to a death. But even so, so I assume the officer who shot is now on desk duty basically until the investigation proceeds. Is the rest of all of the SWAT team and the officers also had to be put on, or just the one person?
No, it's just the one that fired the shot.
Okay, because I was thinking about, it's a massive personnel impact if it's, it was like 10 or 12 people that were there, it looked like. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Just one quick follow-up. I think it's interesting. I learned something from you talking about this and also this morning that, you know, we talk with Mike Wood on Thursdays a lot about cop myths, you know, and one of the movie cop myths is, you know, hostage takers use the hostages in order to negotiate some kind of an exit from the situation, and then they go do whatever they're going to do. And what you're saying is that, no, we just don't let people leave with hostages because only bad things happen after that, right?
That's correct. We're going to do everything we can to prevent a hostage. You know, I tell people when I give presentations to various groups, and you know, they ask a question, what should we do if someone grabs me or attacks me mm-hmm. or whatever? And I say, do not go. Fight with everything you have. Do not go with them, because if you're out in public or if you're in a parking lot or something like that, at least you're in your own place. If you get taken somewhere, they're going to take you to a secluded area, and it's unlikely things will go well at that point. So you are at that point you are fighting for your life, and so we take the same sort of stance. We will not let you leave with a hostage. So
and to give credit where it's due, we talk about how TV and movies get it wrong. They do also talk about don't go to secondary locations, and that's right. At least that part, they're exactly right about that. Some other things that have happened, we had two drug and weapons busts. One was inside a hotel room. That was kind of, I wouldn't have expected the drug house to be a hotel room, but, you know, maybe that's more normal than I think. And then there was another one that you served, I think was on New York Drive, was a warrant search that turned up a bunch of drugs and guns, right?
Yeah, our guys have really been doing a great job. We're wherever the drug dealers are, wherever the guns are, we're going to go to it, whether it's a hotel room or whether it is a home. And real quick, we posted these in our Facebook page, some pictures of some people in the hallway right next to our fancy "This Drug House is Closed" sign. But you can also see.
Nice. Is it one of those little post in the ground, the two-parter, like the realtors with the closed,
It's a big, much more sturdy. It's while we're doing the search warrant, we post this so the neighbors understand. That that we're doing the Lord's work there and trying to get this stuff off the.
Whoever said the cops don't have a sense of humor doesn't know cops.
But if you look at it, I mean, just a brief rundown. We had possession of fentanyl, controlled substance, methamphetamine, cocaine, more fentanyl, trafficking in fentanyl, which is you can possess fentanyl, then you can possess with intent to distribute, mm-hmm. and then the highest level is trafficking in fentanyl. What that means is you're doing the community wrong by all the drugs and stuff that you're trying to sell in our community. But the other one, New York, was even more interesting, because when we get there, there were 21 people inside the residence. This is not a large house. I'm familiar with New York Drive. Not the biggest houses over there. 21 people inside.
So it's not an Airbnb on the beach.
It's not a bed and breakfast. It's not bad at all. Although they probably
drug and breakfast.
Stuff like that.
Go
breakfast.
Ahead.
But again, with more pictures, and you can see the drugs. But on the upper right hand corner, you can also see the firearms. Total of 7 firearms, $12,000, oxycodone, 41 grams of fentanyl, all this stuff that I was talking about earlier. And again, the drug house was closed while we were there, and hopefully it's closed down for a while. Hopefully these people stay in jail long enough to where that community can recover from what the damages are doing to it.
And to me, the always, thank goodness, is they didn't fight back. And so we didn't have any cops get shot at. You know, that's I will take that as the good win. The one other one I was just going to ask you about is we had maybe there are two, but we had a Chemstrand Road chase that wound up in arrest. I believe you caught this guy, Winston Nobles. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't have all the information on that. That individual crashed. His car was pretty much crashed pretty good. If you saw the pictures, it wasn't ours. The Florida Highway Patrol.
There's an FHP. Okay.
We were initially chasing him, but I think we didn't have to pit him or anything. He crashed on his own accord.
And then you also had a woman who got shot in the leg over at Peachtree Commons, which has been in the news a couple times recently. So,
yeah, she claims that somehow she got shot in the foot, and her story ain't making sense. And,
okay.
And we ain't buying it.
Okay.
But, I mean, we buy that she got shot.
that's
the
truth.
Okay.
The
location's changed a couple times. The scenario has changed a couple times. The people that shot her changed a couple times. And it's just...
Who knows? The one thing we know is she got shot in the foot. Yeah. Other than that...
Right. So,
who knows
so
if it's even a crime, right?
Says, you know, this lady claims to have been shot here. And then later she claims to be shot there. And then later she claims that this happened, that happened. Again, we're not... We've been doing this for a long time. Don't play us for a fool.
I I understand. Well, Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for serving our community, keeping us safe, and we'll see you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you're getting ready to do that next home improvement project, Pensacola Hardware. And, you know, I know you hear me talk about them all the time. You think, how cool can it be? Well, go. I mean, just go. You're in downtown sometime on whatever, okay? And not even because you got a project. Just, like, do it as a, I dare you. Like, I dare you. Go stick your head in and walk around a little bit and see the housewares and then see the products and then talk to the people. I dare you not to be blown away because it really is kind of an amazing place. So if you've never been, and it's hard to imagine people have never been, but if you've never been to Pensacola, I mean, you know, nobody can go to everything. If you've never been to Pensacola Hardware, just go sometime. Go for fun. Just as a, you know, Andrew says it's an amazing place, go check it out, right? Downtown, 20 East Gregory Street, in business since 1851, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for longer than any other business in the entire state of Florida.
Home Outlet has the new quality in-stock products you need to keep your project on time and the prices to keep you on budget. Refresh your bath with the Denmark Solid White Vanity, including a marble top and 3-inch backsplash, just $214 each. Add a Geneva freestanding bathtub, value priced at $899 each. Visit your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet for the guaranteed lowest price on the products you need to reimagine your bath space, or shop online at homeoutlet.com.
Escambia County is full of opportunities, and your next opportunity could be right around the corner.
On Thursday, May 18th, Escambia County is hosting a career fair from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. This is your opportunity to speak with hiring managers and apply for your next career in person.
See our current openings and learn more at myescambia.com/careers.
We'll see you at the Escambia County Career Fair on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm not a spy. I'm nothing. I'm Naval Lent.
Oh, it's so cute to see Bill Paxton begging for his life from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, not so adorable. Now.
May he
rest
maybe
in peace.
Maybe not as much now, but you know, in the 80s. 5:53.
He lived through a twister.
That's right.
It's a great film.
5:53 on News Radio 92. Bill Paxton was Chet in Weird
Science. I know.
I mean, like the early job. Well, not early, but you know, the ripped off Jabba the Hutt. You know, like all
did
of
he,
it.
Just, like I know you didn't have a big brother, and I didn't either. No, but no, all of my all. Friends' big brothers were exactly
oh, yeah,
like Chet.
No, that's accurate.
They were just mean and gross and whatever.
Listen up, turd or whatever. Yeah, you know, right. All the different things.
Exactly.
5:54 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Former President Donald Trump set to appear on a CNN town hall forum tonight. That's going to be in New Hampshire. Trump taking questions from local Republicans there and undeclared voters ahead of the 2024 GOP primary. That'll air at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock our time. Philip Morris ordered to pay $37 million to a Massachusetts woman that developed brain cancer from smoking Marlboro Lights. the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruling that Philip Morris falsely claimed the Lights brand was safer than Marlboro Reds. And the U.S. providing a massive $1.2 billion military aid package for Ukraine as the country readies for another counteroffensive in its war with Russia. The aid including air defense systems and munitions to help Ukraine defend itself from missile and drone attacks. And Washington has provided nearly $37 billion in aid since the initial invasion.
Thanks so much, David. You know, it's kind of interesting, the Abrams tanks that we're sending over to Ukraine. And, you know, we've talked about this just a little bit before, but we promised to send them Abrams tanks. And for background here, my son is just an absolute expert on tank stuff, you know, and planes. And I feel so proud every time I listen to him. Anyway, he knows way more about this stuff than I do. And I was talking to him about, you know, he was the one that actually told me that they're not sending the tanks over that we use, like that our troops use. They're sending over sort of like the Econoline model. Because one of the things is it it has a different armor, okay? Because the armor, like there was the original version of the Abrams armor, and that's the one that we are sending. That's the one that we give to our like our partners. We don't give them the current one. The current one is ridiculously advanced and super classified how it works because we don't want that to fall into enemy hands because the armor is specifically designed in order to withstand some of the worst anti-tank technology, right, that's out there. So a lot of stuff that, like, we use, it's designed to be resistant to or to withstand that based on the way the armor is shaped, sculpted, layered, all of that kind of stuff. And then you also have, like, the active defense system, which is, if you don't know much about tanks, like, some of the stuff that tanks do these days is ridiculous. But, you know, you have, like, the Javelin missile, right, the sort of portable anti-tank weapon, you know, swoops in, goes up, goes down, and comes at. Well, you know, we have an active defense system for our tanks that's designed to defend against that, which goes out to meet the missile, like. And you don't, you know, nobody's manning this. It's not like there's a guy in there with a BB gun, you know. You know, this is like the tank is designed to defend itself against this stuff. And so we're not sending it with all that. You know, we're sending it with like, okay, here's the big gun. Here's the tread. We're taking out some of the electronics. Like it's the very, what is it, the LX model or the DX model. It's the DX model of the Abrams tank, which is the one we let, you know, all of the, you know, neighbor countries use or whatever. Also kind of interesting, NATO likes to make stuff all intercompatible, you know, which makes sense. Like the 120-millimeter round that we use is the same that the name of the tank that the Germans are sending also, but it's the same basic round. And one of the challenges we might run into is because like Ukraine typically stocked up on Russian tanks. Well, the Russian tanks don't use the same ammunition as the NATO tanks would use. And so how do you're going to basically have two different supply lines, two different supply chains, you know, and then you can't really deploy the Abrams along with the Russian tank because they don't fight in the same. And just some of the interesting wrinkles in terms of arming the Ukrainians and, you know, the stuff we are and are not willing to give them. Plus the training pipeline of, you know, having them even on the DX model, basically, of the Abrams tank, having them be trained enough to be able to use it effectively because it's not exactly the kind of thing you just be like, oh, you know, tanks, here you go. It's not quite like that. So it takes a long time to train American troops even to use these things effectively. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else do? Oh, okay. I'm reluctant to tell you this story, and because it's the kind of story that might some people, it's going to kind of freak you out, and then what do you do with it? But I don't want to keep it from you either. And here's the story. You know PFAS, which is this, you know, contaminant that we've been looking at in the water and
the plastics, right?
Well, it's a chemical they used in the used in like Teflon, and they use it in, I guess, and they use it in firefighting stuff on bases. That's why all the sampling of the water around NES Pensacola and Whiting and all that. And you know, now the EPA has come out with regulations about it. Those regulations are expected to change over time. ECUA and all of the other water agencies are having to adapt to filtering this out. And okay, it's a long backstory. But PFAS is in more than just like the firefighting stuff. And there's a report now comes out that PFAS is in a lot of contact lenses. That contact lenses have it in there. And so, you know, this stuff that you're not supposed to consume in any quantity, basically, might be up against your eyeballs. And they tested 18 known contact lens, well-known contact lens brands, and they found organic fluorine, a PFAS marker, in all of them. And so what do you do with that? Well, you know, talk to your optometrist. I'm not the expert, you know, but I didn't want to keep it from you either.